Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And here we are, off and running. Hour number two, Wednesday, August the 12th, 2020. 8:12:20, 17 minutes past the hour, and we want to thank legendary ABC newsman Sam Donaldson for joining us for the entire first hour to talk about the vice presidential pick of Joe Biden being the junior senator from the great state of California, Senator Kamala Harris. So we thank Sam for coming on, and this hour we switch gears and go to local news, because there is a lot going on locally, to be sure. And back when this pandemic started in mid-March, we were very lucky and honored to have Mayor Scott Schertzer on once a week to get the state of the city. We did that, I believe, through early June, and he has come back today to talk about all things going on in the city and a few hot-button issues that are going on as well, so you can hear it from the man himself. It's always a pleasure to welcome to these microphones the mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Schertzer. Mayor, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on this morning. Appreciate an opportunity to talk to your listeners.
It's always good to talk with you, Mayor. Since we spoke last a couple months ago, how have things been?
Well, you know what? I think things have gone very well as far as the city government goes. We have implemented all the governor's protocols and the Ohio Department of Health, the local health department. It seems as if that people that are coming into City Hall understand the situation, that you have to wear a facial covering, 6 feet social distancing. People are becoming very conscious of those protocols to protect not only themselves but from one another. We also have the new security protocols in the lobby of City Hall, which is a Ohio Supreme Court mandate. So we have two police officers that man that station every day that City Hall is open. Metal detectors and x-ray machines. So all in all, things are going very well. Just took a look at the revenues for the city. Surprisingly, the revenues are fine. They're okay. I wouldn't say fabulous, but they're doing pretty steady right now. We talked in June about how income tax, which is normally due April 15th, was kicked back to July 15th. So when I looked at the numbers for July, well, this year through July, we're doing okay. We need to be careful, though. There's no doubt about it. You can't be crazy in a pandemic and just go nuts. The CARES Act money has been very beneficial to us here in Marion. I want to say somewhere in the neighborhood of $850,000 to help with additional expenses that we have incurred as a result of the pandemic. You know, security protocols in regards to the pandemic. We had a special ambulance that was stationed outside of station number one for a while, so we were able to pay for that expense with the CARES Act money. And in fact, council this past Monday night just approved the purchase of a new ambulance with the CARES Act money. So that is something that we did not anticipate doing this year, but we're grateful for the CARES Act money. But again, all in all, city government doing okay, holding our own, hanging in there, and we'll just see what happens from here.
When we spoke last, we had reached a plateau point after the complete shutdown that we were under, the stay-at-home order. There were days in Marion where no new cases were being diagnosed. What a difference 60 to 90 days makes. Here we are in August. We have a mandatory mask order. Certainly not the case anymore. 150,000 people dead nationally. What have you made as we've opened back up the businesses of the pandemic?
Well, I think there's no doubt about it that the more active, and as Americans we are active, we get out, we like to travel, we like to go places, we're very social, and when we get back to that, that's when you see the social spread. So that is a concern, I'm sure, with any public health official. Any medical person in the country is concerned about those things. That's why it's so important for facial covering, social distancing, washing your hands, et cetera, et cetera. So it is a concern. When we were shut down, essentially, we'll call it the shutdown, we were fortunate here in Marion that our largest employers were considered critical or essential, and they remained working. And so that was a good thing that helped out the city's revenue because we depend upon a 2% earned income tax. But when you open things up, and like we did in the summertime, and people start to travel a little bit more and you have that social contact, you're going to have those numbers go up. And I think we need to be very aware of that. I am not suggesting by any stretch of the imagination that we should go back to the shutdown. But, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me about the governor's mask protocols, mandatory masking, facial coverings. And I said, you know, it's a small sacrifice to make, and I will gladly make it to keep the economy open and moving forward. And that's what we need to look at right now. We need to keep our eye on the ball moving forward. We need to learn from the past, but move forward to make things better.
That being said, you're a former educator. I believe you still have school-age children. Mm-hmm. We're just days away from going back to school. We think we're going to do that on a hybrid model at this particular point. What's your feeling on that?
So I've sat in on a couple of Zoom meetings with all the county school superintendents, and I think the greatest thing that I can tell your listeners is that all the superintendents are communicating and talking to one another. They're all coordinating their plans, and they all have the best interests of the students, the staff, and the educational institutions that they represent in mind. I think they all, in fact, I know they would all like to get back to a normal classroom environment. And I think we would all like to get back to some normalcy ourselves. But until we have a vaccine or until we find something that helps us through this pandemic a little bit better than what we are right now, I think the hybrid model is probably the way to go. They had a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, and they were even working on a plan D if they needed to. But I think most of them are in what they might consider plan B, which is hybrid. And you may know this, and your listeners may know this, Scott, but the county schools here in Marion, if your child's last name is A through L, I think, you'll go 2 days a week, and then you'll be off three. If it's M through Z, you'll go 2 days, then off three. And then there'll be 1 day designated for disinfecting and cleaning to stop the spread of the COVID-19 virus. So I think it's a good idea. But yet there still is risk involved in a hybrid model. And I think that's why they're all preparing to go to Plan C, which is 100% long-distance learning. A lot of parents have decided to go that model right from the get-go. I want to say, and please don't quote me on this, you should probably talk to a superintendent from one of the schools, but somewhere in the neighborhood of about one-third to one-quarter of the parents have decided to go total long-distance learning and not even allow their kids to go to school on that two-day whatever, you know, your last name is. And I think it's fine that the parents have the ability to make that choice. I think we've learned a lot since we went into online learning last spring when the school was completely shut down. But there's still going to be a learning curve with that type of educational instruction moving forward. I know they've pushed their start date back to the 31st of August. Most of them would have started getting kids sometime next week, either 17th, 18th, or 19th. So they pushed it back about a week and a half or so. And I think that's a good idea. It gives them more time to prepare. The teachers, most of them, will go back on the 17th. They'll start to understand what this model looks like, the hybrid model, and then if they have to quickly transition into total long-distance learning. Mm.
About a week and a half ago, we had Dr. Ron Arusi, superintendent of the Marion City Schools, on, and he said that pretty much he's leaving these decisions up to Tracy Kinsler and her staff over at the health department. You know, for a long time, certainly pre-pandemic, we thought the health department is there to do health inspections and gives vaccinations, and that's about it. Boy, this staff has really had to step up over there.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I can't imagine what it would be like to work in a public health department in any county or in any state for that matter right now. You know, the true test of your leadership is really shown here in this pandemic, how leaders have stepped up to the plate and made the tough calls and the tough decisions or tough recommendations. But unfortunately, in a democracy that we live in, a lot of what the public health officials and even the governor, for that matter, are doing are recommendations. And many times there are few laws to give the teeth needed to a public health department, a state health department, or the governor in dealing with a pandemic. We haven't had to deal with something like this in, well, just over 100 years. So our laws have been modified and changed a great deal in that 100-year time period. And so we were ill-prepared legislatively to deal with such a health catastrophe that the country is dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, of course, we got the official announcement that Big Ten football will not be played this coming fall. A lot of questions are still up in the air on high school football and Friday nights. Do you think playing high school football for the kids, the students, is a good idea?
Well, first let me just say I am heartbroken and the fact that there is not going to be college sports. I think so many people were looking forward to that as just kind of an outlet, a release. And, you know, most of us, we never have a chance to go to those big college football games, maybe a couple times in our lifetime. But watching those on TV on Saturday, the Buckeyes, and even the Saturday night, you know, game of the week, if you will, two top 10 or two top 25 teams battling it out. I'm a huge college sports fan, and I miss college sports more than anything when it comes to sports. When it comes to pro sports, you know, pros are okay. But I'm a college sports guy, and that will be deeply missed by many this fall. I do believe that as the major conferences make the decisions to have no fall college sports, that will begin to have an impact on, say, for example, the Ohio High School Athletic Association. Certainly, I would think that they have to begin reevaluating their position and what they intend to do. Would I like to see high school football Friday night? Absolutely. But if you're not going to be able to go to high school football, if it's, you know, no fans, then, you know, that's kind of defeats the purpose. Except for we have to keep those student athletes in mind. I think it's very beneficial for student athletes to participate in sports while they're in high school. So I don't know what they're going to do, Scott, and I'm guessing that they don't know what they're going to do yet as they reevaluate all this.
Mm-hmm. Want to get to the big story of last week, as it were, and a little back story for those who don't know. I can't imagine there's somebody who doesn't at this point in Marion, but we'll give you a little back story here. Judge Jason Warner, back on June the 4th, he and his wife were involved in what they were calling a hit-and-skip crash. An investigation was opened in that hit-and-skip crash. There is going to be a trial. And last week, the mayor spoke out for the first time, calling for Judge Jason Warner to resign. Mayor, what brought you to that decision?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think that the public in general really felt like they were in the dark. We, as a public, did not even find out about this accident until I think it was an entire month after it happened. And I think that really set the stage of being very sour for people, not understanding how a judge could be involved in such an activity or an event, as it were, and nobody know about it. And really, last week was the first time that any media outlet in Central Ohio asked me the question of what did I think about the situation. I have been getting emails, texts, Joe Jane citizen on the street asking my opinion of the situation. And so I have been answering all those, and what I told those folks individually when I was personally asked is exactly what I told the Marion Star. I think that elected officials should be held to a higher standard. And, you know, coming off the heels of the householder scandal, which is the largest scandal of its kind in the state of Ohio, and then you have this with another elected official here in our own county. Look, I know Jason Warner. I like Jason Warner. I like him very much. He is a good person, but he made a mistake. And because he's a judge, he should be held to a higher standard as a judge. He knew the law, he knew what he was doing, and that's why he should step down from his judgeship, and he should be judged as a regular citizen, not as a judge.
Have you spoken to him since this hit the media?
I have not. And as I understand from the article last week, at the time that the article was written, neither has the other Common Pleas judge spoken to him. So no, I have not spoken to him.
Prior to making this announcement last week, which apparently it just was because a media outlet asked you, have you spoken to the judge since the accident on June the 4th?
No, I don't believe I have had the opportunity to be in his presence at all at any public events whatsoever since the accident had taken place. No.
Another question, and you brought it up there. How did this go under the radar for a month, in your opinion? A public figure involved in an accident like this, and we didn't know about it for a month.
You know, I think that is an excellent question, Scott. I wish I had an answer for you and your listeners. I think that, and you've been in local media for a long time, and so I think that the professional media outlets that Marion, Ohio once had, we don't have it at the same level that we used to have. The Marion Star had a much greater presence in our community. Now they're down to, what, maybe two reporters who work unusual hours. I don't even know that you can walk into the office of the Marion Star like you used to when you and I were growing up, when I was first on council, and even when I first got elected mayor. There was a staff at the Marion Star where you could walk in and talk to people. You don't have that nowadays. So we have a diminished professional media presence in Marion, Ohio. And you and I know this. We've kind of talked about this over the years. There are those, such as WWGH, that are trying to fill that gap. But you know how hard it is to be 24/7 news. It's a challenge for you. And you do a good job with the partnerships that you've created, and I appreciate that. But we just have a lot of maybe what one might call hobbyist media outlets out there. And that's a bit of a concern.
What do you make of that entire trend? Because it has become a trend, and do you think that the public can distinguish between the two, a hobbyist media outlet and a legitimate media outlet?
No, I don't think they can with social media. I and that's unfortunate that that we have not. And I say we because I throw myself into that same category as well. I am much more skeptical about the information that I get on social media compared to the information that I used to get from a hard copy of the Marian Star. And that's because the world has changed, and it has changed more rapidly than our opinions and our feelings and our norms have changed on how we consume news from outlets such as we have today.
When we just look at what we know, and we only know what we know about this case at this point, we know about the accident, we know that I believe it was 9 hours before it was called in by Judge Warner. When we just look at that, what do you make of it?
Well, certainly I'm going to let the prosecutors and the visiting judge make the ultimate determinations on what's going on. I do believe that anybody, whether you're a judge or a regular citizen, you do have a right to have your case in this issue here to be heard and be adjudicated in a proper court. And I we have proper courts here in Marion. I don't know what to make of that other than, seems pretty fishy, doesn't it?
It's brought out protesters in Marion, whatever size the groups may be. What have you made of that? That's not a common thing in Marion, Ohio.
No, and I think I think, and look, I was born in the 60s, so I was born during the protests of the 60s, whether it was protesting civil rights, protesting the Vietnam, protesting equal rights, you name it. Whatever was going on in the 60s, there were a lot of protests. We are kind of seeing a bit of a resurgence of that right now, whether it's Black Lives Matters or social justice issues. And now we have the protesting of a judge who was involved in what we're calling a hit-skip accident and may not have followed the same protocols and procedures that a regular citizen would have had to have gone through. I think with the protests, what struck me the most about the protesting is they were protesting in front of City Hall. And I know on social media they said, why doesn't the mayor do something? Judge Warner does not work for the city. He does not work for the mayor. Judges are independently elected in the state of Ohio and in here in Marion County. So if you are a voter in Marion County, essentially you're kind of his boss, and you have a chance to fire a judge every 6 years. Because in Ohio, judges run for a six-year term. That's the way the state constitution has it set up. If we don't like that, then we have to change the state constitution. So we have to understand what the rules of the game are. So he doesn't work in City Hall, and the mayor's not his judge. Do I have an opinion? Yes, I do, and I think I have expressed that opinion to you this morning and to the Marion Star last week, and my opinion has not changed since the day that I found out, and it has not changed since the very first person asked me what I thought about the situation. But my first job is to educate people that he doesn't work here, he doesn't work for the mayor, he doesn't work in city government. Actually, the city police department has nothing to do with this case because it happened in the county. The city law director has nothing to do with this case because a special prosecutor has been assigned to deal with the situation. So the city has nothing to do with it other than the fact that if the case is tried in Marion, which I would make the presumption that it would be in the county courthouse, which is in downtown Marion, at the county courthouse, which is where the common pleas judges reside.
What to you are the optics? Because we all talk about optics in politics now, and certainly the Columbus media has been on this case as well. What are the optics of a judge who is still a judge, he's taken a leave of absence, but a judge being tried for this type of issue?
Well, certainly the optics aren't good. I think certainly here in Marion County that we will have our own citizens start to question the legitimacy of the court that he sat in. Now, I do not want to lump all the judges in Marion County into that category, but he has sat on cases since the accident. I'm sure those will come into question. Appeals may come out of his previous rulings and any rulings that he may have had after the accident until he stepped down last week. I don't even know when he stepped down. Was it last Monday? I think I talked to the Marion Star last Thursday or Friday. So I'm not sure when he stepped down. But I think that we need to be careful in our county that we don't delegitimize our judicial system here in this county because we still have very good judges sitting on the bench. I do believe that in Marion County, in my tenure in local politics, that judges often go unopposed in smaller counties like Marion. There aren't that many lawyers, and only lawyers with so much experience have the ability to run for a county judgeship. And so when you don't have that many people that are willing to step up to the plate and challenge a judge, you get judges that are basically there until they want to retire. So it's unusual for someone to unseat an incumbent sitting judge, because we need our attorneys to step up to the plate and make sure that we continue to have integrity in our judicial system in Marion County, which I believe we do, but I think we can call into question this particular judge at this time.
I want to come back to two points of this, because I think one that you raised earlier is very interesting, that it did happen on June the 4th, and we didn't know about it for about a month, and yes, the local media did not pick up on it. First story was ran on Columbus Media, I believe Channel 6. But, you know, the judge certainly was involved, and somebody took a police report that day. The police report exists that happened 9 hours later. In a social media, everybody talks to everybody world, that did not get out for 30 days. How do you think that happened, barring the media?
Well, when you figure that out, let me know, because I really don't know. I mean, something could happen 5 minutes from now, and it's all over social media. I wish I had an answer for you, and I really don't have an answer on how for 30 days nobody on social media that I'm aware of. Now, maybe there was somebody that was aware of it and was talking about it on social media, and it just didn't catch fire, or it didn't go viral, as the kids say. I don't know, and it's highly unusual, I wish I had an answer, but I simply do not have one, so I'm not even going to try and make one up for you.
Well, and I think this is another interesting question, and I think we're all asking ourselves this question. Again, it happened on June the 4th. We're more than 60 days past that now. He has not resigned. He's not performing his duties at this particular point. But all that being said, why do you think he hasn't resigned?
Look, I can't begin to get in the mind and the head of somebody else. I don't know. I think, it, as I've already stated, would be in the best interest of the court, of the integrity of that particular court that he served in, that particular common pleas seat. I think that if I understand, former common pleas judge Bill Finnegan has been asked to sit in. I think that begins the restoration process of that particular bench that Judge Warner sat on. I have great respect for Judge Finnegan. That's a good thing. But I think that, you know, Judge Warner at this point in time, he does deserve his day in court. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an attorney. So I've only kind of know what others have said in a few conversations that I have had on how a judge might have taken advantage or violated the law as a result of his involvement in that accident. And I don't think we know yet what his involvement is, but the actions that we are aware of in media really lead me to say that a judge should not have done those things because he knows the law.
That being said, there will be a trial, and we'll learn what we will learn, and we will have a verdict at some point. Is there any verdict, any situation that would change your opinion on his resignation?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to reserve judgment on that for right now, because I think when the trial ensues, that one would hope that a trial presents the facts, and I think that we need to see those facts. But we'll just wait and see how the trial progresses.
It's an interesting time, and we'll just stick to Ohio here. You talked about the householder case at the State House. We have this issue with Judge Warren here in Marion. We also have an issue in the last year with the auditor, and I believe that trial is still slated to take place. What do you make? This didn't used to happen in local politics. What has happened in the last year with things like this?
Well, I look, you know, my statement in the Marion Star, I believe in the principles of good government. I believe that we're here to serve. Now, I realize also that not everybody, not every constituent that I represent in the city of Marion agrees with every decision I make, but I don't make those decisions based on my personal interests. I don't make it based on personal financial gain. The only salary that I earn is my mayor salary. I get no other financial benefits from anybody or anything. And I think we've just gotten away from the principles of what good government really is. And I also believe that the public at large is much more skeptical of government today than they may have been since, you know, the Watergate era or the Vietnam era. There was a lot of skepticism about our government at that time because of scandals, and we're seeing that at a local level, we're seeing it at a state level, and that's unfortunate, because then every politician gets painted with the same brush, and we're not all that way. And it doesn't matter which side of the political aisle that you're on. There are good elected officials on both sides of the political aisle. And when I say that, I mean there are good Republicans and there are good Democrats, and that's what we need to focus on. And we, as a democracy, a republic, we need to, by the power of the ballot box, we need to weed out those that are not considered good.
Since that story was reported in the Marion Star last week that you were calling for Judge Warner to resign, what has the feedback been from people you have encountered, good or bad?
Good. It's been very good. You know, a few emails, a few texts, a few phone calls, a few people on the street, you know. I think generally, whether you agreed with me or not, I think people are just finally glad to see somebody like a mayor speak out on the issue. You know, I spoke those words really more as the interim Democratic chairman, but since I also hold the position of mayor, it's kind of hard to separate the two. But no county commissioner has spoken out. Haven't heard anything from anybody else in that regard, and I understand that the prosecutor can't, because there's an ongoing trial, and he passed the ball to the state attorney general's office to be the special prosecutor. There's a special judge coming in. I understand that a judge might not be able to give an opinion on a pending trial, whether it's before their court or not. I get that, but there are still a lot of community leaders in Marion, Ohio, that haven't really said much of anything on the issue.
I think you're the only one, to my knowledge, outside of some people on city council. What do you make of that?
I don't know. It's sometimes saddened by it, the fact that as leaders, that they choose not to speak out because If you say the wrong thing, then social media will ascend on you like a brick building, and people don't want that. So I really don't know.
When the accident happened on June the 4th, like I say, there was this period where nobody knew about it. It was referred down to the Attorney General's office by our prosecutor, Ray Grogan. But I think that was after the 30-day mark. Do you make anything of that? When it became public that this had happened, I believe that's when the referral happened.
No, I really don't. I think Prosecutor Grogan is a good person. I think it was probably the right thing to do. We had a very similar situation here in city government where the city law director asked for a visiting prosecutor or a visiting law director to handle a case with a city elected official. I think that there's a double standard, though. When the city law director asked to do it, the city council did not want to fund the visiting city law director. And I think that was very politically motivated. But I think Ray made the right decision in doing what he did, as I think that law director Russell made the right decision in doing what he did to bring in an outside or a visiting prosecutor, law director. And in both of the cases that we're talking about right now, there are also visiting judges that will oversee the cases. So no local judge will have to, I guess, pass judgment on a fellow elected official.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, and just, we have about 7 minutes left. In the case with the auditor, you felt that the choices that were made there were politically motivated. Why were they politically motivated?
Because council didn't want to fund the position for the special law director to come in.
And that would have meant it would have went away?
Well, it would have meant that it would have been harder to pay the visiting law director under those circumstances. You know, look, we all have budgets we pass at the beginning of the year. You really don't take into consideration a unique case such as this, where you may have to prosecute a fellow elected official. And so there was not enough money in the law director's budget to cover the cost of a visiting law director. And he came before council, as he should, to ask for an additional appropriation to cover that cost. And council really didn't want to do it. And then it was finally taken care of.
Just to not make the mistake twice, because the city auditor is facing a trial, should he stay in his position, in your opinion?
Well, we're talking about two entirely
right.
and totally different things.
Right.
You know, potential felonies and potential misdemeanors, and the two entirely different situations. So, I think that particular case, it should proceed as it is proceeding, and then the outcome will come out of the trial or a plea bargain or what other opportunities there may be when cases move forward like this.
When you speak to Judge Warner again, whether it's after the trial or years down the road, or if you could speak to him now, what would you say to him?
Well, again, I it's not so much of what I would speak to him. I think we also have to be mindful that there was a victim involved in this case. And I don't know that anybody really knew the condition of that victim when the Warners left the scene. And so I think we need to be mindful of the victim and what they have gone through. I believe it was a 19-year-old young man. I'm sure that it's been very traumatic for him to experience such a thing, you know, something he didn't ask for. It was an accident, I get it, but you still need to be held accountable for your, even in an accident and the actions that have led you to that accident. But what I would say to Judge Warner, I don't know, I'd have to wait and see. It depends upon the circumstances of which we come face-to-face with one another. If he is found innocent, then he's found innocent, and then that's the court has spoken at that point in time.
As you say, you know Judge Warner. Knowing, as I said, we talk about the victim in this, it was an accident, everything that's happened since, just as a person, just knowing him, how do you feel?
How do I feel?
How do you feel about just this is somebody you knew, you feel is a good person?
Look, I think I feel sickened as an elected official. I can't imagine being in those circumstances. You know, I've been in public office for quite some time now, and actually this is my 30th year that I have been involved in, you know, campaign politics when I started in 1990 down in Columbus. So I've done this kind of thing off and on, more on than off. Even when I was a school teacher, I was still very involved in the political process with helping candidates and serving my party in leadership positions. So I like to say I've been involved in this type of activity for 30 years. And it's I can't imagine what he and his family are going through. But more importantly, I can't imagine what the victim is he and his family are going through. And I think that's the most important thing, is what is the victim in his family going through under these circumstances. I'm sure they've had to retain an attorney. I'm sure that there are lots of questions that they have that are still yet unanswered. So I think it's more important that we think about the victim than we do, in this case, the judge.
And it's an interesting thing, and in the last 3 minutes we have, when you are, you certainly know this, when you are a public person, you live under the microscope, even in a local community. Not that something like this would not be publicized, a hit and skip allegation with a person who's not in the public eye, but certainly not as much. Should people be more aware of that who are in public office and in the public eye?
Well, sure. I've always believed that we should be scrutinized more for our actions. There's no doubt about it. you know, we should have the public's trust in the positions that we're elected to. Again, I think there's a difference between I disagree with my elected official on how they voted on a particular item, in whether it's the legislature, and then having that trust to say, you know, look, I disagree with you, but, you know, I think you did it for good reasons that you believed, or maybe they were privy to more information than I was. I think that the public should have more, I think they should have trust in us, and I think that they should basically scrutinize us more for our actions, our personal actions in that nature.
With 2 minutes left here, Mayor, and I appreciate the time, what right now is the state of the Marion political scene, city council and the mayor and the auditor? For a long time, it was thought to be very contentious. Where do we stand now?
Well, I think because of the pandemic, we're still in a very much what you would call a getting to know each other stage. The Zoom meetings have really not allowed me to get to know the new members of council or the new auditor. I'm a very personable type of guy. I don't think emails are really how you get to know somebody. You have to sit and talk to them. You have to work with them. And that is more challenging when you're social distancing and emailing one another on issues that I would normally just walk down to the auditor's office and say, hey, what's this? You know, what's going on here? Or I would call a council member and say, hey, next time you're in City Hall, can you pop in? I want to run something by you. I don't get that face-to-face, that one-on-one, that personal contact with the city elected officials that I did pre-pandemic. And that's been a challenge.
Mayor, it's very interesting. I always am appreciative when you can call in or stop by, and hopefully it continues, and we'll talk again soon.
We certainly will, because we talked nothing about Joe Biden and Kamala Harris today.
How did we do that?
Have to talk again.
How did we do that? Thank you, Mayor.
Bye-bye.
Mayor Scott Schertzer, how about that? All right, we're going to break, coming back with Glenn Coble in the On the Air program right after this.
We can never know this, but what was it like to be told you can't at a certain restaurant or experience